Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Warning, this episode contains details that some listeners may find disturbing. As the internet has grown, so too have certain mysteries, especially stories of alleged time travel, teleportation, or interdimensional travel. The most famous examples are now almost folklore themselves. Rudolf Fentz, the man said to have materialized in Times Square in the 1950s from the year 1876. John Titor, the alleged soldier from the future who traveled back in time. And the man from Taured, a traveler to Japan who showed up with a passport from a country that doesn't exist, at least in our timeline. As popular as those stories are, all three have either been debunked or badly weakened. But with each story, the question is not simply, did this really happen? The question is, why do stories like this keep happening? Because long before the internet, human beings were already sharing stories about people who came from somewhere else, or someone else, by supernatural means. Tonight we look at 3 unusual tales of people who may have fallen through time, space, or something even harder to explain. This is a study of strange. Welcome back to the podcast. I am Michael May. Tonight we're looking at 3 strange historical mysteries that are often grouped together into one genre, I've been calling it, where time travel and interdimensional travel, potentially alternate realities, have come together. One of them is often told with UFO stories as well. These include the Japanese legend of Utsurobune from the early 1800s, the story of Gil Perez, a soldier said to have transported instantaneously from the Philippines to Mexico City in 1593, and then a modern tale of Mike Madman Markham, the backyard inventor who claimed that he built a working time machine. This topic has been a suggestion now by multiple listeners over the years. Usually they'll reference the stories I mentioned in the introduction, like John Titor, the man from Taured, Rudolf Fentz. Those are great stories, but they're covered a lot, and it doesn't take a lot of effort to sort of find out the truth behind those. Although I do love seeing how folklore evolves, and you can see that in those examples, like Rudolf Fentz. He's a man that supposedly traveled from the 19th century to 1950s New York. But it turns out that's actually a fictional story first published in 1951. And then over time and by the internet age, people start posting it in forums as if it's fact. The man from Taured has a similar history. That is a story of a man that showed up in Japan with a passport from a country that doesn't exist, and then poof, he disappeared. Well, that's actually based on a true story, kind of. There's a man named John Zegras who was a con man, created his fake passport to travel to Japan, and was arrested. But as time went on, details of that story started shifting slightly here and there, like a game of telephone, and then people started sharing it as if this was a supernatural event. John Titor, that one's a little different. That is a person who traveled from the future, came back in time to try to save the world, and he started posting on forums in the late 90s and early 2000s. But it is most likely a hoax created by 2 brothers in Florida. creating this almost like ARG interactive story thing. The stories I'm going to share today, though, I think they're a little stranger. They're a little more mysterious, but they represent the same concepts. And you can also see how each era of these stories saw these similar tales differently based on their historical context. 1803 Japan. The Tokugawa shogunate had been enforcing seppuku, national seclusion, for nearly two centuries. Trade with outsiders was tightly controlled. Foreign ships that wandered into Japanese waters could expect a hostile response. So imagine what it meant when a foreign vessel drifted towards the shore of what was then the Hitachi province. The people on shore saw this weird object, and they didn't recognize it. It didn't look like any boat they had ever seen. It was round and hollow, about 10 feet high and 17 feet wide. The upper portion was said to be made of wood, and the lower portion had metal plates. Around the body of the craft were windows made of glass or crystal. This floating thing lands on the shore, and it's opened. Inside was a young woman, and on the walls of the vessel were symbols that no one recognized as a known language or alphabet. The young woman was described as beautiful, perhaps 18 to 20 years old, and her skin was pale, very pale. Her hair was reddish, her clothing was unlike anything the visitors knew, and she spoke a language that no one understood. Now, even though Japan was secluded, there were still people that knew other languages or could recognize other known languages, but this woman didn't speak those. And perhaps most strange of all is that she carried a box, a small box, and she refused to let anybody else touch it or open it. This is the story known as Utsuro Bune, or the Hollow Ship. And it shows up in at least a dozen Edo period texts between about 1815 to the middle of that century. And there are illustrations in these texts, multiple ones, drawn independently and all showing something like a circular vessel with a distinctive banded structure around the outside. Look them up. I will share them in the video portion of the podcast and in the show notes. And you'll probably think, hey, this looks like a flying saucer. But in 1803, there were no flying saucers, meaning that just wasn't a concept. Humans didn't visualize ships in the sky in that manner. Now, if you believe in UFOs, I can understand why you might latch onto that theory here, but historically speaking, it just wasn't a thing. And in Japan specifically, though, foreigners were viewed as mythical or supernatural. Because most people, especially in smaller towns, didn't know or had never seen a foreigner. And red hair specifically was associated with being a European. She was simply an immigration crisis. And the thought that she had traveled there by means of technology and a ship that no one understood from a different far-off place or perhaps a different time, as some people theorize as well. So this woman was a specific kind of dangerous. And then there was that box. It's usually described as a small box that she held in her hands, and she guarded it intensely. She didn't let anybody touch it, and no one ever saw what was inside. The villagers speculated that she was a foreign princess in exile because of scandal. Maybe the box contained the severed head of a lover. And this shows that the villagers were interpreting the unknown through stories that they could understand. Love, punishment, shame, exile, taboo behavior. Whatever the case, this was a scary situation. Fishermen had brought the woman up into town, the locals deliberated about what to do with her, and they decided the best thing to do was to put her back in the Utsuro Bune and then push it out to sea, letting the current take her away forever. And that is where the story ends. I mentioned the common theories that she was a foreigner in exile, that she was from an unknown time or place, and obviously we have modern theories that this could be a UFO. But the skeptical take is that the Utsuro Bune is probably a blend of castaway folklore, anxieties about the outside world pressing against Japan's borders, and old hollow boat legends actually already existed in Japan. A Japanese folklorist suggested that this may have preserved the memory of a real event, like a shipwreck, where some foreigners had to drift ashore for safety, and then that got attached to pre-existing mythological tales. But we don't know for sure. Now we'll go back even farther, more than two centuries earlier, to the Spanish Empire. 1893, Manila, Philippines. At the time, Manila was one of the most important Spanish colonial outposts in Asia. It was linked to Mexico by a dangerous trans-Pacific trade route that connected Asia to the Americas and beyond. According to legend, a Spanish soldier is standing guard at the governor's palace in Manila, and at some point, depending on which version of the story you're reading, he learns that the governor, Gomez Perez Desmariñas, has just been killed. Then the soldier felt dizzy and disoriented. Now, luckily, this feeling didn't last long. When it subsided, he looks around and he's not in Manila anymore. He's suddenly in Mexico City, specifically the Plaza Mayor, the great central square. Now, for those that might be geographically challenged, Manila and Mexico City, they're not close. They're thousands of miles apart. He's still wearing his uniform, holding his weapon, and people take notice of this soldier that's completely out of place. Authorities approach, and he tells them where he's from and what just happened. He expresses that he doesn't understand what's happening here, but that's the truth of the matter. They don't believe him. I mean, how could they? He's immediately arrested and accused of desertion. And some of those around this start claiming that this man has to be a witch. But he insists there's no explanation. And as authorities are taking him off, he mentions that the governor had just been killed. They don't believe him. Months later, a ship arrives from Manila, and news is shared that the governor is dead, right at the same time that this soldier said it happened. The soldier knew before any ship could have traveled and told anybody in Mexico City. The soldier's name in most versions you read is Gil Perez. Now, here's the part that complicates this tale. The earliest traceable written source for this story was published in 1698, 100 years after the supposed event. So what was written was already a retelling of something that had passed through several generations of oral tradition. I would bet, though, that the concept that one man traveled from one far-off place to another instantaneously was consistent across those stories. Because the Spanish Empire, a large empire like that, relies on speedy communication. But at a time when it took months for information to travel from the Philippines to Mexico City, there is this great desire to imagine a way to communicate faster. Now, the thought at the time was not about time travel or alternate dimensions or these kind of things. People tended to associate this story with witchcraft or divine intervention, which makes sense when you think about the religious makeup of that European colony. There's also a claim that floats around online that Antonio de Morga wrote in 1609 about the death of Desmariñas, and that it was actually known in Mexico City far sooner than months after it happened. He doesn't mention, though, a teleporting soldier in his writing for how that news may have traveled there faster. The name Gil Perez doesn't appear in early sources. It shows up in the 19th century in Mexican retellings, and then used more commonly in the 20th century. Whether he was a real figure or not, putting the name Gil Perez helps sustain the folklore. Our third traveler does not come from an ancient manuscript. He comes from where so many modern legends come from, the radio show Coast to Coast AM. 1995, Missouri. The voice on the radio belongs to Mike Markham, later known as Mike Madman Markham. He calls the host of Coast to Coast, Art Bell. I'm going to assume if you listen to a show like A Study of Strange, you're probably aware of Coast to Coast AM. For those that are not aware, Art Bell was the host. Today it's George Norrie. And the show is a nightly call-in show where topics float from the paranormal to UFOs to witnesses to remote viewers, conspiracy theories, ghost hunters, etc. It can be strange, it can be dark, it can be mysterious, and it's a place where a lot of modern-day legends were born. It was the best possible environment for what Mike Markham had to say. He called in and explained that he had been doing some electrical experiments, specifically with a Jacob's ladder, which is one of those high voltage devices where the arc climbs between two metal rods. You see them in all the old monster movies like Frankenstein and stuff, where there's crackling and a bolt of electricity traveling up. Now, he said while he was working on this Jacob's ladder, he saw something, a shimmer, a distortion. And he did what all good scientists do. He threw something at it, and the object vanished. He tried this again, throwing various objects at this distortion, and they all vanished. He became convinced that he was looking at the first crude prototype of a time machine. And he needed more power. This is where the story leaves the folklore territory and enters the criminal territory record. According to accounts, Markham admitted to stealing several transformers from St. Joseph Light and Power in King City, Missouri. The theft caused a local blackout. He was arrested and spent time in jail. And that's real. That's not just part of the legend. After his release, he called Art Bell again in 1996. And he said he was building a second machine, legally this time, and he claimed he'd sent some small animals and around 200 objects through it. And then Mike Markham, well, he disappeared. For years, the absence became the engine of myth and rumor. Maybe the machine worked, maybe he went somewhere, maybe he went somewhen. And then Markham returned in 2015 and spoke to Art Bell, who had moved to the new show Midnight in the Desert. And Markham claimed that, yeah, his machine worked. He traveled 2 years into the future and about 800 miles away from where he started, ending up near Fairfield, Ohio. Only he had amnesia, and over time he eventually pieced his life back together. I do have to add, the Missouri State Highway Patrol had no record of Mike Markham being reported as a missing person during this time period. So when people say Mike Markham disappeared, what they mean is he disappeared from the story. He wasn't calling Coast to Coast anymore. He disappeared from the radio mythology. But is there any truth to Markham's backroom science experiments? Can a Jacob's ladder open a portal through time? There are no known physics to support that. High voltage does wild things to the air around it, but bending space-time, that's something that doesn't seem legit. Real-time dilation does exist. Astronauts moving at high velocity experience time differently than we do on Earth, and that's a measurable thing. But while I'm skeptical that Markham gave the world a time machine, we have to keep learning and pushing our knowledge of time, space, quantum realm, and more. And he cemented a character type that you had really only previously seen in movies, and that's this lone inventor, the guy in the barn or the basement or the garage, obsessed, building something that might be genius, might be lunacy, might be a little of both. And he belongs to the same mythological neighborhood as Tesla legends, as the Philadelphia experiment, as the Montauk Project, all these stories where crazy breakthroughs happen with new science. Are any of these stories true? We don't know. And my usual listeners know I'm skeptical and I love to debunk these kind of things. But again, that's not the point of these stories today. They all have a form of a mysterious traveler, but they're separated by centuries, continents, technologies, completely different cultural contexts. And in every case, there's also forbidden evidence. The woman's box, no one opens it and knows what's inside. The soldier having impossible knowledge of an assassination. Markham's machine, no one's been able to see that machine. And this is what I'd call the secret architecture of these legends and why they persist. They get really close to be true. but the full proof is like just outside of our fingertips. And there's something else worth noticing too. The explanation changes with each era. In Edo, Japan, the mysterious traveler is described through foreignness and folklore. In Spanish colonial storytelling, it's witches and miracles and divine intervention. And in 1990s America, it's electricity and fringe physics and time travel. So the mystery, these types of mysteries, they don't change, but the cultural context does. And that means that folklore is not static. It evolves. Thank you for listening to A Study of Strange. If you have experienced something strange, unusual, or scary, we want to hear about it, and you might get to be on the show. Email astudyofstrange@gmail.com to learn more. Thank you, and stay strange.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.